I'm Derek.
And I'm Noah. And you're listening to A Bite Of.
Yes, that's correct.
Fun. We're having fun.
Where we take our current favorite pop culture obsession and enjoy it one nibble at a time.
I like almost busted my eardrum right before this, so I'm just discombobulated.
Noah was performing Stomp for us. Didn't go well.
Perfect for our summertime movies.
Stomp.
So today on A Bite Of, we are taking a bite of our top five favorite summertime movies. It's specifically named that for a reason, right? Because when you think of summer movies, you think of movies that just come out during the summer, right?
Yes.
Summertime is summer movies. Like, the setting is summer and what it means to us.
Yes. And saying summertime is more concise than that. So
than what I just said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that we're taking a bite of movies that mean summertime to us as individuals.
That is the whole title for this episode.
Exactly.
Because it makes sense.
I think it does.
Yeah. So we decided, you know, we're making summer last just a little bit longer. I know it technically what goes until the end of September.
Was yeah. It? And there's like, yeah, it's like when I think of summer, I think of school. Right.
Oh,
when you go back to school, then it's the end of summer.
Oh, right.
But then it's like the unofficial end of summer is Labor Day. But then I think there is some time in September that's like the actual.
Right.
You know, like end seasonal.
It's like the 22nd or some weird date like that.
That's fall in my book.
But yeah, we wanted to extend it a little bit because we're adults and we don't really get summer.
What does it mean to summer as an adult?
I don't know.
It means I wear short sleeves to work.
I mean, we're in our best summer attire right now. I got a yellow and orange tie-dye.
Mm-hmm.
You got a beach.
I'm feeling beachy. Feeling like beach movie.
Like Ken.
Yeah.
Just all beach.
I am Knuff. I beach.
Our Patreon members are able to see this. So if you would like to see our outfits, just, you know, go on Patreon. They're all there.
$1 a month.
Or even a free trial.
How about that?
Yeah.
And they're like, I didn't like the shirt. No, thanks.
I just came here, supported you with $1, and just to tell you I don't like your shirt.
Fair. I'm going to get an Arizona iced tea, and thank you for your patronage.
But before we get into it, follow us on socials. Review, follow, subscribe, all of those things. I think anybody that's listening to a podcast now should know this. We just tell this to remind you, or in case it's your first time here, hi.
I've never listened to a podcast before. How would I keep in touch with these folks?
Just hit that little plus or follow or subscribe button, and then you'll get notifications whenever an episode drops.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. This kind of reminds me of when we used to do the commercials back in the WandaVision days.
Oh my God. We used to do commercials, especially with new Patreon members.
For the ABOPs.
Yeah, for the ABOPs.
Yes, he said it. He said it.
So, okay, summertime movies. I have to ask, before we get into like our picks, we have five each and we're doing new type of episodes. We're having fun with this. We're playing little games. Also, that way we can talk about movies that we would never be talking about on this show.
Yeah, I think it's nice for us to share things that we love from our past.
Yeah.
We're taking a bite of the past.
Or present.
Or future.
Well, I can't tell.
Me either, but maybe.
But so when you think summertime, what is Derek's ideal summer? It could be past. It could be now. But like, what is like the thing that clicks in your head? It's like, it's summer.
So in life, not when it comes to pop culture, just in life.
Yes, you.
So in life, I mean, when I think of summer, I think summer is different when you're an adult, unfortunately. But when you're a kid, it means that all of those responsibilities, all the pressure is gone.
Mm.
So you get to wake up whenever you want. The AC is blasting. You know, in New York, we have hot, humid summers. So that's what summer is to me. It's like you can spend all day in your bed, in the AC, watching whatever you want.
Wow.
Just hanging out, you know, drinking something refreshing.
Like a Kool-Aid.
Like a Kool-Aid or a crisp Dr. Pepper. Why, what's summer to you?
That makes my mouth like sticky.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Dr. Pepper.
Delicious. Is it medicinal? Ugh. It used to be.
It used to be.
And that's why I love it.
How I used to view summer is when one, like supervision was like an all time low, right? It's like you didn't have school. You like had your parents, right? What?
I was like, what is supervision?
No, well, no.
It sounded to me like I didn't know something about Midwest summers. There was something called supervision. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, what does that mean?
We could see further into the distance exactly. Because there was less dust.
Ah, got it. The dust bowl. I see.
But it was less supervision from parents, from school. And it was really the time to just be like your own independent person almost. You know, growing up, especially in the South, I was always outside. Mm. I was catching frogs. I was barefoot all the time. So like those, like shirtless with those like denim shorts, no shoes, just a wild child out in the world. Those were my ideal summers.
Yeah, I was a city kid. So I was like
barefoot.
No, I would be walking to the store, getting some chips and Dr. Pepper, and then walking back home and watching the same movie that I just watched the day before.
Yeah. I'm actually excited to see what, reflecting on our lists, to see in movie and pop culture and stuff, what we look for as like our favorite summertime things or like how it reflects on us. So I'm kind of curious. I know our lists are very different.
They're very different. Mine are very much the innocence of summer. Yeah. They're very much a child summer.
Mine too.
Yeah, I guess.
Midsommar 1-5.
Right, totally. A child summer in flowers. Yeah.
All right. So, yes. So, our lists are summertime movies 1-5. Let's start with 5. Do you want to go first?
I just want to make it an official episode.
Oh.
Let us officially take a bite of our top 5 summertime movies.
Ooh.
All right.
Fun.
All right. I can go first.
Yeah. You go first.
Exciting.
What is your number 5?
So, my number 5, I was kind of going back and forth between this being my number 4 or my number 5, but not to start off with a negative. The thing that ended up bumping it to number 5 was that it's long. Especially for a kid's movie. So
Lord of the Rings.
Exactly. The trilogy.
The director's cut.
Three of them, right, exactly. I want to see them moving to New Zealand. I want to see, no. So this is, my number 5 is 1998's The Parent Trap.
Oh, that is long.
Lindsay, it's 2 hours, right?
For a kid's movie.
For a kid's movie. Mm. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I just think that they could have maybe condensed things, but anyway. The reason I picked this movie is that, as silly as this sounds, it introduced the world to Lindsay Lohan. Mm. She was so charming and so adorable in this and really had to carry so much of the movie because she played both parts.
Yeah, this wasn't a Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Exactly.
I was going to go Ashley, Mary-Kate, and that sounds weird.
Even though it's alphabetical order, it sounds weird. But that was the whole thing, was that they wanted it to be completely identical.
Right.
So that...
The same person.
They swapped places and one went to England and one went to California, their parents wouldn't notice. So, I mean, I remember really enjoying this when I was little. I remember her, I think she was on the Rosie O'Donnell show and she talked about how she had a little earpiece in her ear and she would hear herself say one line and then would react to
Crazy.
It to the double. I mean, this was a lot for a little girl.
Wow.
And she did such a stellar job. I love the whole premise. It's so adorable. Plus, I'm a bit of an Anglophile, so she goes to England. Natasha Richardson is in it, who is just beautiful. One of my favorite people in this is actually Lisa Ann Walter, who is now in Abbott Elementary.
Oh, right.
Yeah, she plays Chessie.
I totally forgot she was in that.
So she's Hallie's kind of caretaker and actually has one of the most moving and poignant moments in the movie when she realizes that it's not Hallie, that it's Annie.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. This whole movie, I said this already, but this whole movie is just so charming. I mean, if you really think about the premise, it's horrible, right? These two people who have these twin daughters and decide, well, it's not going to work out. So you take one, I take the other, and they can never know they exist.
I mean, these aren't like pillows, like, you know what I mean? Or like favorite blankets. Like these are people.
We're not splitting up the dishware.
Yeah. Are you not going to tell them that they have a sister out there?
And they're not identical twins and they completely separate them. It's horrifying if you think too deeply into it, but I think it's really fun. And, you know, there is the one from the 60s that came out. There is a bit of a nod to that when, you know, one of, like, Lindsay Lohan, whichever character she's playing, she sings, "Let's Get Together, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah," which is the little musical number from the one in the 60s.
Right.
And this also gives us, I think, one of the most evil people from a 90s movie, Meredith Blake.
Yeah, it's that, what's the woman's name from The Nanny?
She's like Cece.
Yeah, she's like Cece. She's like that tall, beautiful blonde, but is like a complete asshole.
Exactly. She's like very upper crusty.
Yeah.
And also, that's another thing. Okay, like I was rewatching it and I'm like, which one of the parents is the bigger jerk? And I think it is the dad, because Hallie goes away to camp for like 2 or 3 weeks and comes back and like he's getting remarried.
Yeah, they're all not great. Everybody but the kids in that movie and then the mom. Aren't great, but she did make that decision. So what makes it like summer for you? What's that summer feeling?
Well, it takes place in the summer, right? So there's summer camp, and that's where they meet.
So that's like your criteria that you're checking. It's like, yep, takes place at summer camp.
That is a very big thing for me here. And I really tried to make sure that they all truly took place during the summer. It gets a little fuzzy in my top spot, but that was like, this is a summer movie. It starts out at camp. They end up going camping later on in the film.
That is true.
They're not in school, right? They're kids. They're not in school. They can do the swap without messing with their studies.
I think that is a big, if it involves kids, it cannot have school in it at all. It could have the ending of the school year into the summer, but it cannot have school.
Right. Like, exactly. That's like we were talking about Barbie a little bit. We were like, well, it's sort of summer in Barbie world, but.
It always
the,
is.
The America Ferrera character's daughter is in school.
Yeah.
So it's not summer.
So it's immediately, doesn't matter how much beach there is, doesn't matter how many abs there are. No.
Right.
Does not count as a summer movie, because then the whole conversation becomes like, is every surfing movie a summer movie?
Blue Crush. I don't know.
I mean, Point Break, which I actually think is a summer movie, but... But right, so it's like, is every surfing movie a summer movie? Technically,
we have to see the calendar.
That is like a summer season. It's not a summer state of mind.
It also is also where in the world it takes place, right? Because in Australia, if it's December, it's actually summer.
Okay. We're getting too in the weeds with that.
Anyway, they're in camp. There's a fencing battle. They pierce ears.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I like this movie a lot. I think I've watched it a few times throughout, you know, its existence. And I'm like, it's not bad. But I do remember it being long. I feel like there was times where I would turn it on and it was like at a part. I'm like, oh, let me watch it. And I'm like,
yeah,
OK.
Yeah, it just feels like it has like one too many chapters. I can't explain it. It's like if it's on, I'll watch it. And that's another piece of my criteria is like, if I was just flipping through the channels and this was on and I stop and watch it, that means it would end up in my tops.
Nah.
So, but I, even as a kid, even now, I'm like, why is it going on for so long?
Yeah.
Just so they can put the lizard in that lady's mouth. Yeah.
it's great. All right, good. We're starting off, you know, innocent.
Yeah.
Innocent.
That's how I roll.
When you said negative, I was like, oh, what is he going to pick? I was like, wait until you hear my number five. So my number five is 1986's Stand By Me. the director, Rob Reiner. I mean, this is one of those movies where, you know, I love Stephen King. So I had to find a way to put Stephen King on my list, even though technically the story it's based on is called The Body. It's a whole big thing. I would have rather it been called The Body because it's just reminiscent of what the actual thing is. This movie, to me, it made me feel like kind of my summers in a way. Not like the whole like broken homes and like everything.
Searching for a dead body.
No, but like, well, so because where I grew up in Oklahoma and Texas and stuff like that, we were always outside. So it was always like, oh, there's like this abandoned daycare over there. Let's go in there and see. And it would be like a whole day adventure, right? And like, so even though this movie is a little more mature than that, I kind of just like saw myself in that as I was little. And then as I grew up, I understood the significance of it.
I think there's also something about Stand By Me, which I think is reminiscent of a summer movie or is an aspect of a summer movie in that it's a summer that changes you.
That is one of my biggest criterias. And almost every single one of my picks is like a transformative. Because, right, it's like summer is almost like that suspended animation time, especially when you're school. But sometimes when you're older, us adults, we don't really get summer anytime. Like now my summer is like, OK, I have to cut the grass. Right. That's my summer.
We can water on even days, not odd.
Right. But when you're younger, or, you know, going through college or whatever, it's one of those things where that is the time to really discover yourself, because Absolutely. You're not sitting in class for most of your day, you mm-hmm. know. But this one, I mean, it's just, you know, an ensemble cast of these talented young actors. But I love it because if you're almost not paying attention from in the beginning and the end, you wouldn't notice that one of the main characters, Gordy, is the narrator as an adult. Mm-hmm. And when he sees the kids pass by him, that's when it goes back into the past. And it talks about this one summer when he was 12 and what happened. And it's one of those stories where I think almost everybody can point to a time where it was like, I don't think I'll ever have friends like I had at this time. Right. And that's one of like the biggest things in the story. It's like, and I never had friends like the time when I was 12, but does anybody ever really? So it's just one of those things where it's like the sentiment means a lot. It's so well acted. It's just a classic. And I wouldn't be me. Like, I could literally be like Dazed and Confused, Risky Business, Dirty Dancing. I could pick those movies, but that's not me. Yeah. I have to go with me. And Stay By Me is my number five.
I think this is a very solid number five pick for you. I just have to share an anecdote. So we were big fans of this movie as well in my household. Yeah, we love this movie. Wow. My parents are big Stephen King fans, so this movie. But I remember we watched it on, like, you know, the WB once, when it was like a Sunday afternoon movie. And there's that story that Gordy tells mm-hmm. about the pie eating contest.
Yep.
And so when the guy walks up to the stage and he's eating, the crowd chants, lard ass, lard yeah. ass. Mm-hmm. On TV, they just chant this, lard, 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 lard.
Really?
Yeah, because they couldn't say ass back in the 90s on TV. Yeah. So my brother and I thought that was the funniest thing. And we would just go, lard, 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 because it was, you know, it was like horrible dubbing.
Right.
When they just try and fill in the blanks.
Right.
But yeah, that movie is really a beautiful movie.
It's beautiful, and it's a tough movie, but I think it's one of those, with an ensemble cast, you kind of get archetypes of different characters, and I like those types of movies, and I like that each one has, like, something going on at home, like, you know, one of the main characters, their brother passed away, but then what does that do to their family? The mm-hmm. other one is a little overweight and has a terrible brother, and, you know, their dad abused. So it's like, but then they have this whole quest, no matter what's going on, they go to their treehouse, then they find out that there's a dead body of this kid that went missing. So let's go find it. And then they kind of grow up and learn things about each other along the journey. It's just really great.
It feels very It to me sometimes when you
Without
the clown. But if you break it down, right, there's the main character who loses the sibling, yep. whose parents act different towards him. There's, I don't know. There's just a couple of things in it that feel very It. It's right. That Stephen King thing.
Yeah. I mean, He has his moments of not writing kids well, but I think his track record is he writes kids very well. Mm. And so that's his strength. And this is great book. If you want to read it, great movie. Yeah, just do it. There's bullies. They're assholes.
That's the other thing that reminds me of it. It reminds me of the guy, the bully from It. It's like yep. the bully in this. It's that like 1950s bully.
It's like a precursor to It. This was like the first draft. And he was like, let me throw a clown in there.
Yeah. He's like, I know, a million-year-old being that comes and eats children. Got yeah. it. That's what the body was missing. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So what's your number four?
Number four is my most modern one. Mm. It came out in 2021. It's an animated film, and it is Luca.
Whoa.
So
I knew you were talking about this one. I didn't know if you put it on your list or not.
So this was the one that I was going to clock in at number five. Mm. But then on the rewatch, I was like, well, the Lindsay Lohan one is too long, and this I just really enjoyed again upon watching it again. So again, when we think of summertime movie, we think of a life-changing summer. Mm. We think of self-discovery, and Luca does that really, really well.
And magic
yeah. Right. So Luca, our main character, is a sea monster. He is forbidden from going above water because the people in the town want to kill sea monsters. But of course, being a young rebellious kid, he goes up and he meets the amazing Alberto. And Alberto shows him the ropes.
Yeah.
And we get just, and then of course, Julia is here. And she is just, they're just also Italian. And she says things like, Santa Gorgonzola. Yeah. You know, everything's a cheese. It's funny. It's adorable. It's self-discovery. It's just that feeling of freedom as a kid, of discovering new things about the world and discovering things about yourself. I mean, it's cartoon hijinks, but in a really heartfelt way. I mean,
right.
Disney just has that way of mixing the fun with the heart. And I just love these characters. And I love that Lucas sets out on his own to see the world. And he actually wants to go to school. So again, we know Julia is visiting her father because it's the summer.
I was going to say.
She's not in school.
Yeah, I was going to say, whenever you first had mentioned that this might go on your list, I'm like, how do you know it's summer, though? Because it's always summer there. And then on rewatch, it's like, oh, okay, there, yeah, it's school. I got it.
Yeah.
This movie is very sweet. It's a great, I think, addition to the Disney Pixar canon. I almost wish it didn't come out when it did. Because I feel like it would have done better.
Absolutely.
Right? Because this is one of those COVID movies where it came out during COVID and we loved it immediately, but I don't think we watched it since that time. But on the rewatch, it's just a great, fun time. I really enjoy this movie.
Yeah. And I think as someone who has Italian heritage, you know, in my blood.
Silencio Bruno.
There's all the talk of pasta and just the way everybody talks. Maya Rudolph plays Luca's mother, which is another bonus. There's just so much about this movie that I just love so much. And the fact that I hadn't seen it since it first came out and it stuck with me. And upon watching it again, I fell even more in love with it. I think is why it solidified a spot on my list.
I like it a lot. I like that movie. I could see myself watching it almost every summer, just to have on.
Yeah.
It's great. Animation's beautiful. Love it.
And they dream of a Vespa.
Yeah.
They're just kids, and they just dream of the greatness of a Vespa.
Yeah. These are the types of movies that make me think, you should be paying your animators, your writers, and actors and everybody more because of just wonderful, beautiful movies like this.
There's an angry little cat.
There is an angry
Machiavelli.
Little cat. Yeah. All right, so my number four is 2012's Wes Anderson's Moonrise Kingdom.
Oh, these quirky little children.
Wes Anderson and Roman Coppola. It's just, this is one of those movies that's always stuck with me since I saw it, because every time I see it, it's a completely different movie almost. It still has that summer feeling, you know, it's almost camp. Right. I don't think we really have any camp movies on our list, but there's like campish things around it, which I think is very interesting. But this one, I like it because it's like you have these two kids, right? You have Sam and Susie, and the lengths that they go without knowing each other to like run away, start a life together, get married, create mayhem, jump off of buildings, everything like that. It's just so kid. It's just so like. Yeah, like that's what kids do. Everything is just more.
Yeah, and I think what's funny is that it feels like a child version of meeting someone online and then moving cross country to live with them and marry them. Yeah. It's that very same feeling of knowing that this person is the person I'm supposed to be with.
Yeah, yeah. These kids are so good in this movie. I mean, the cast is stacked. Mm-hmm. You have like Bill Murray, you have Edward Norton, you have Bruce Willis, you have all of these amazing people in it, but these kids are like nobodies. And I liked that Wes Anderson specifically sought out nobodies. And it just kind of added to the quirkiness that Wes Anderson is. But this is one of those of his movies where like he always has a look to his movies. This one feels very summery to me. Like, it just has that more warm tone across it, especially when they're traversing the island. I just, like, to me, I feel like I went to camp when I was young. And it was like Christian camp or whatever. So, like, there was a layer to it where I was like, I'm gay. But
like, I don't care how many popsicles, stick crosses you make me make. I'm gay.
Oh, it was the what would Jesus do bracelets all day, every day.
That's kind of fire, though.
No. But like, I hated camp. You would think, my mom was like, you're going to love it. You love frogs. You love this. But it's like scheduled fun. So it's like not fun, right? It's like going to school.
Sure. Yeah.
But not at school.
I get that.
So that's why I didn't like it. But like, I feel like a part of me would kind of be like a Sam or Susie where like, I just want to get out of this. Like, I'm done with all of this stuff. I just want to do my own thing. But back to my point of like, why I think like every time I watch it, it's a different movie. It's like, oh, it's just kids being crazy. But then there's the extra layer of like Susie's home life and what's going on there. And then like her mom's cheating with the officer, Bruce Willis. And, you know, so it's just extra layers and everything means a little more, but it still has that summer feeling that I like.
And I think it's just so impressive, as you said, that these two kids are the lead roles in this and they carry the entire movie.
Yeah.
And they just do such a stellar job. They just really just slip right into that Wes Anderson way of portraying a character.
And Sam, the actor that plays Sam, it's just like, you know, Wes Anderson is a phenomenal filmmaker. And, you know, you can tell that he decides and really is very meticulous of his decisions. And I just like Sam's character of like how he speaks. Like he just has an interesting way of speaking and he has that like younger kind of like lispy kind of thing going on. It's just nice. Like it just makes me feel, I'm like, oh, yeah, like kids are awkward at that time. You know, they're piercing their ears. Like, I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
I love it. It's a good movie.
Definitely a good movie. Definitely summer camp scout vibes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Edward Norton, that's probably one of my favorite roles that he's ever done. So shout out to Edward Norton, the OG Incredible Hulk.
It makes me want to get a tape recorder to record the goings on of my days. Yeah. I just so love good. That part.
So yeah. Good, good. What is your number three?
My number three is another animated film. It's also Disney. It is 1995's A Goofy Movie.
Oh, okay. This is a good pick.
Y'all, this gave us one of the hottest soundtracks with the most famous pop star Powerline, baby. It gave us Eye to Eye. It gave us After Today, which is not a Powerline song, but the movie starts with After Today, which is Max proclaiming once he's free from school, AKA it will be summer,
right,
that he's going to be cool and he's done with it.
Well,
listen, he has to go to some lengths. Okay. Yeah. He's trying his best to impress Roxanne. And so him and PJ have this big thing planned at school and it just is, you know, it's like taking Luca, but making it teenager.
Right.
Right. So it's like feeling awkward, feeling out of place, wanting to find your own, you know, kind of place in the world and be who you're meant to be. But yet you're still a kid, you know, and his last name is Goof.
I still listen to Eye to Eye. Like it's one of those songs where like if you have not listened to it in a long time and you like that movie or you've never seen the movie, just look up literally Powerline. It's such a good song. It's like that doesn't seem like it would be in a movie like this, but it fits completely.
It's incredible.
It's a good movie.
It's a really good
father,
movie.
Father, son.
There's camping involved. There's a road trip involved.
There's more camping in this than I thought there would be.
Summer, baby. It's summer. Everybody's going camping. It also brought to my attention that Goofy's name is Goofy Goof.
Yeah.
Goofy Goof.
Goofy Goof.
And his son, Max Goof.
Yeah.
But
I wonder if it always was that and they just needed to give Max a last name because he was in school. So they're like, Goof.
Goof? I guess it's Goof. Right. This movie still makes me laugh out loud. There are certain things in this that happen that just make me bust up laughing. And I don't know if it's the nostalgia of me finding it funny when I was, how old was I? 10 years old when this came out. I mean, the whole Bigfoot scene when they're locked in the car and Bigfoot is like taking a picture of himself and is hilarious.
Yeah, it's bizarre too.
When they go to the possum party thing and that little girl's next to him, she's like, ah!
That part was so weird to me.
The possum thing?
Yeah, because it was just so bizarre.
It was so bizarre.
I mean, it's a Disney movie, right? And they're like dogs and there's like other people, but it's like it's just like it kept like amping it up almost. And then we get like Powerline and it's just, it's a good summer movie.
It's a really good summer movie.
Isn't there like rafting at one point?
They do end up falling in a river and going down the river.
Check for the summertime movie list.
I mean, antics, yetis, camping, road trips,
possums.
Pete and PJ have an RV. It's got everything. Motels, alphabet soup.
Okay. You're just going to list everything.
Cooked on a lighter in a car.
Got
everything. Also, Goofy's job. He's a photographer. We didn't know this about him. We're discovering so much about Goofy Goof and his son Maximilian Goof.
It's a good pick. I actually really appreciate that you have so far. I don't remember the rest. No, I kind of do. So far, only two animated movies. I like that.
Only two?
I said, so far, you have only two animated movies out of your... How many have we done? Two.
Three.
I was trying to do math.
Yeah, I could tell. You were working hard.
But anyway, sentiment is still there. I like that animation is included in this. My next pick is not animated, but it is full of ridiculous cross-country family road tripping. And that is 2006's Jonathan Dayton, Valerie Faris's Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh,
it's this movie. I remember seeing it for the first time, assuming it was just going to be a comedy. You know, Steve Carell's in it. It's going to be a comedy. Turns out he's the least funny in like this entire movie. And it is, it hits you in the face with like realism and everything, but it is so darkly funny. But it's set in this like bright, they're in like a yellow station wagon. I mean, it's just amazing. This movie has, they're taking their Little Miss Sunshine to go to a beauty pageant because she got in. Technically, she's the runner up, but she got in. This family obviously is like not, isn't well off. So they all have like odd jobs and like they're trying to do things. The father is trying to do like a pyramid scheme type thing. But so they all get in the car and just go so she can compete in this beauty pageant. She will win money if she wins. So why not? It's just, it's one of those movies where the more I think about it, the more I'm like, this is one of those transformative summers, not just for the adults, but for her. She's sitting there, the little girl's sitting there and experiencing all this stuff. Her grandfather dies throughout the thing. So Paul Dano is in this, which, I mean, I completely forgot he was in this movie. And then I rewatched it. I'm like, oh.
A young Paul Dano.
Yeah, this is the Riddler. He's going to grow up to do great things. But, you know, when he finds out that he's colorblind and he can't go into the military and be a pilot, and it's just, I don't know. This movie is like, you can feel hot. You see, like, they're kind of just sweating in that car. The visuals, it looks like summer, but then it has that family road trip aspect. But it wouldn't be me if I didn't pick a movie that was kind of like, this is like heavy.
But I think that's one of the great things about it is that when you see a lot of these like family road trip movies, or just not necessarily road trip, but like family movies, right?
Right.
Everything does look a little pristine and proper.
Right.
But in this, it feels real, right? They're dressed in just like regular clothes, t-shirts. You know, she's wearing like a denim skirt, I think, yeah. Toni Collette. It's just like, that's reality. We're not barely anyone is rich. We're all just trying to make it by. She's just trying to give her daughter what she wants, even if she doesn't really believe in it.
Yeah.
It's so, so real.
And I believe this is Abigail Breslin's like breakout performance.
Absolutely.
If I'm not. And I love it too, because it's like whenever she gets to the beauty pageant, like her family's trying to do everything they possibly can, because they all kind of come together in the end, aside from the grandfather passing away. But then they don't want her to do it. But then she goes through with it because she's like, you know what? I know I'm not going to win this, but I'm going to do it for my grandfather. And then just the scene with them all dancing on the stage at the end, it really wraps the movie up. And like, that was really good. Like, I didn't expect to like have this like emotional journey with this family with that cast, Toni Collette and Steve Carell and Alan Arkin. And it's just really good. It's just a good movie. And also Steve Carell plays a gay man. So like, Gays.
That's all you needed to say from the beginning.
It's so good. We're getting close to the end.
We sure are. We're getting into top two territory, people.
Top two.
Are you ready for my number two?
Two, two, two.
So we're back to real people, not animated. This is my darkest film.
Oh, like in actual or like content?
Like content.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Go ahead.
It's 1993's Addams Family Values.
Okay.
Hello.
This is your idea of dark.
Mama, they are from the beyond. They were black, baby. Okay?
I literally could have picked Midsommar. I didn't.
Okay. This is where it gets dark for Derek in my number two spot.
You know, fun, before you get into yours, I was actually going to put Now and Then at my number five.
Oh.
But Stand By Me, I could have.
It got bumped.
I just, and in my top two, you'll find out why. Like, I could not just include these, my next two, but it would have been kind of funny because Now and Then has Christina Ricci in it.
Oh, we could have had a little...
We could have connected in that
we
way.
We could have come together.
Also, Rosie O'Donnell's in the movie. Anyway, great movie.
Demi Moore.
Yeah, wanted to plug it.
Melanie Griffith.
Yeah.
but back to Adam's Family Values. So that we know this officially takes place during the summer because the Adams children, Pugsley and Wednesday, have been trying to kill their new younger sibling, whose name is Pubert. You know, and they are shipped off to Camp Chippewa. Okay, where they meet the Grangers, Gary Granger, played by Peter McNichol, and Becky Martin Granger, played by Christine Baranski.
Okay.
Who are basically Nazis who run this camp. And it gives us the... Okay, so at the summer camp, Camp Chippewa, they decide to do a play about Thanksgiving, right, which takes place in November. And Pugsley gets the amazing role of the turkey, and he says, "Eat me."
Wait, why did they do that during the summer?
Because Gary Granger was just filled with inspiration and needed to tell this tale.
Okay, I actually never put that together.
Like, yes.
I just always assumed it took place during Thanksgiving, but no, they're at camp.
They're at camp and they just do this horrible thing. And of course, Wednesday and all the quote misfits end up taking over the play. And, you know, she says she's going to scalp Amanda.
I mean, there is something about, like, I mean, it's ultimate, like, just kids doing whatever they want, right? You have, you know, Pugsley and Wednesday are very much like, you know, their parents don't really parent them. They just, like, make sure that they don't really kill each other.
Yeah, they don't want to kill the other kids. Right. That's really the baseline.
Right. That's all
Adams
you can ask
for. Adams don't kill Adams.
Exactly. Other kids, go ahead.
Yeah.
But it does have that, like, misfit feeling of, like, being a kid, and especially being at camp and dealing with bullies. And, but, you know, having Wednesday deliver those lines that, like, you know, I wish I probably could have said to some people that deserved it. Maybe not, like, scalp them, but something to that effect.
Well, just even Amanda, right? She's the antithesis of Wednesday in this. And
did you just say Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Okay.
Wednesday-dums.
Okay.
And she jumps in the water during the swim training or the lifeguard training, and she goes, "I'll be the victim." And Wednesday goes, "All your life." Come on. Come on. It's so good.
It is really good.
Oh, it's so good. And also the other storyline in this is that Uncle Fester has fallen in love with Debbie, who is actually a serial killer.
Yep.
And
I love that storyline.
Debbie is played so immaculately by Joan Cusack.
Yep.
In this. Holy smokes. And the whole story of her when she has them all in the electric chairs and she's telling them about the Barbie she wanted. She wanted, like, Princess Barbie. And what did her parents get her? Malibu Barbie.
Got it.
Just, mwah.
Hey,
just,
summer.
Oh, chef's. Right, exactly. Barbie, we're trending. Just chef's kiss to this entire movie, to all the performances in this. I mean, you have Raul Julia, Angelica Houston, Christopher Lloyd, Joan Cusack, Christina Ricci, Carol Kane. It's like...
It's stacked.
Stacked. Christine Baranski. It's just a stellar cast.
That's the fun thing about these movies. I actually feel like we've gone way back in the past. Like, we have some, like, kind of current ones, but, like, most of ours are, like, the 90s or, like, 80s.
I think there's that bit of nostalgia, right? Of when we were kids.
Right.
What we loved.
But, like, you have these actors like Christina Ricci and stuff, and it's, like, the beginnings of them. So it's, like, they were kind of in a lot of stuff, because I believe during Now and Then, Christina Ricci, that same year, she was in Casper.
Casper, yeah.
And then she, you know, and then she's Wednesday. So it's, like, it's really their time during that. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Kind of fun to think about that way.
She was just, like, such a huge 90s kid actor.
Yeah.
She was, like, sort of a, you know, it was like that Winona Ryder, dark haired kind of thing.
One of my favorite actors of all time, Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
Love her.
And now they're both back in these, like, you know.
Amazing.
Wacky.
Yep.
Kind
Stranger
of
Things.
Creepy.
And she's back
jackets.
In Wednesday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's back in Wednesday. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I, fun fact, I was extremely huge when I was a baby. Oh. Like, I was, like, over 11 pounds when I was born.
Yes.
Had no hair or eyebrows or anything. Pasty white. So they called me Uncle Fester.
Aww.
So I very much drew myself to, why are you calling me that? And I watched the movies and I was like, I like him. He's fine.
I get it. One of my favorite lines in this movie that makes me laugh every time is, so when Uncle Fester leaves and goes to live with Debbie, that's how he says it.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Gomez goes crazy.
Right.
Because his brother leaves. And so when he's losing his mind in his bedroom, they're talking about Fester and him. He goes, Fester, where's Fester? He just is like, yeah. Totally insane. It's hilarious.
Hysterical. Oh my
gosh, I love this movie.
It's really good. I have to rewatch that. I didn't rewatch it with you. But I have to rewatch
it. I will gladly rewatch it with
you. Okay.
Number two.
And then after this, we're in our number ones, which is exciting. I do also want to preface this, like, because we're going to be doing some more of these and like drafts and stuff like that. But like, I feel like if we were to do these lists tomorrow, our top five would change. So like, you know what I mean? It's like these, if you don't agree, you should, you know, I really want to know what people think.
I think there are so many other summertime movies out there.
But we're being true to ourselves.
This is who I am.
True to ourselves. The reason why I'm saying this now is because I do believe my number two is one of the best movies of all time.
Whoa.
So I'm just like preparing myself. If somebody is like, why would you do that? But you
backlash?
Know, this is me and this is who I am.
Greatest Showman.
Great. So I've never seen it.
Neither have I. But I know that song.
So 1989.
Uh-huh.
Why are you looking at me like
that? I'm like, how far back are we going?
I mean, 1989. 1902.
Back in my day.
But 1989, a Spike Lee joint.
Oh.
Do the Right Thing. This, I can't describe this movie to what it deserves. I mean, there is literal, like, documentaries based on like how this movie was made. It's just one of those movies where it is just so good in not only visually showing you the tensions rising and you feeling that, but the acting on right. top of that. So I mean, Spike Lee obviously stars in this as well, but this takes place in Brooklyn in Bed-Stuy during a summer, during a day in summer, one of the hottest days. And the coolest thing about that is that they did film it literally on the street that I used to live in Brooklyn, on Quincy Street.
Get out of here.
Yeah. And this movie, if you've never seen it, you 100%, everybody should see this movie. But the cool thing about this is that they changed kind of the color scheme of the street itself to like make you feel hot and to show hot. So they used orange and reds where typically it wouldn't be. It's just, it's so good because unfortunately today it still matters. So like it's a very diverse neighborhood and you have these characters, there's racial tensions rising, going to like this explosive climax in the end. But it's the whole movie is like leading to that. And the way they shoot it, it's like the more they get hot, the more the tensions rise. Mm. And it's true, right? It's like if you're outside working and getting hot and like somebody kind of annoys you, you're more likely to like, you know,
to explode, go bad.
Yeah. Right. And so it's just a smart way to do a movie that way, but also to do a message. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's so good. So I put this at number two because I could not mention it, right? But, you know, it feels hot. It looks hot. It's extremely well done. The music is amazing. Just watch it. Like, I just watch it.
I love details, like you were saying, with how they painted the street to make it look more hot and more intense. I love just seeing how people's minds work and how they can think of these details where if you're watching it for the first time, it's adding to it, but you don't realize mm-hmm. that it's adding to it. And then later when you break it down, you're like, wow, that's mind blowing.
Yeah, the part with Sal's Pizzeria and like kind of where everything like comes to a climax, it's the premise is kind of simple, but because of the heat and everything and like what happens, it really raises everything up. And if I remember reading or maybe watching an interview with Spike Lee. And, you know, when this came out, they were worried that like, oh, this is going to make people of color like riot and make them like violent and stuff. And it's like his response to that was like, well, I mean, are people being violent after watching an Arnold movie?
Right.
Like, how is that? So again, today, it's still very relevant, but it's a very important film, not only in like cinema history, but like you will learn something in this movie. I like it. It's a Spike Lee joint. You're in for a good time. Watch it. That's my number two.
Number two. All right. Are we ready to get into our number ones?
Oh, yeah. Phew. I'm getting hot.
Oh my gosh, this room, it's boiling.
Also, this is not sponsored by Topo Chico, but this is the best summer beverage.
Do you like a lime hint in your mineral water? Topo Chico. Oh, look at that. No, drink it with the label facing the camera.
We're not getting paid by them.
All right, so after careful consideration, my number one is Star Wars Episode 4.
It's not.
Tatooine, Two Suns, Heat of the Summer.
Are you being serious?
No.
I was like, I'm literally going to like have a migraine.
No. So my number one is
doesn't count. It's not. It's always summer.
Two
and
Suns.
Dry and dry.
Double the summer. Double the sun.
And it's about a sun.
No, wait. Now I am changing it to that. No. Number one is 2001's Academy Award winning.
Okay.
Hayao Miyazaki's Studio Ghibli's Spirited Away.
Okay. So we're going to put these lists and people can vote for like which one they like more. You're going to automatically win. I feel like if you put Spirited Away on a list and people that have taste will pick that one.
I mean, hello. So now I said it could get a little murky. All my four previous ones were 100% taking place during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So upon rewatch, now I got summer vibes from this immediately, right?
I can feel that.
It's
bathhouse.
The bathhouse. It's always sunny wherever they are. But the thing that made me feel like it was officially summer is in the beginning of the movie, when Chihiro and her parents are going to walk through the tunnel, they are in a forest. And in the forest, you can hear cicadas. Now, in Japanese media, in anime especially, when you can hear cicadas, it's letting you know that it's officially the summer. That is a sound of a Japanese summer. Now, it's not officially written anywhere that it's the summer, but
did you look it up?
I looked it up. It doesn't say anything.
That's hard.
Right. I mean, and we also know
I actually don't think that Stand By Me took place during the summer, but
I mean, they were kids and they left for a while.
There was no school.
But again, right? It had that summer feel. It was warm out. They were running.
All I'm saying is like, I think you're more in the clear with summer than I am.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. I just feel like I had to state my case as to why.
This movie, I can't. Like, I mean, I remember watching Princess Mononoke. I think that was the first Ghibli film that I ever saw. And then I was introduced to Spirited Away, which I was like, polar opposites, one. But Spirited Away is so, I can't, it's magic.
It's magic.
It's just like, that's what animation can be. Like, that's peak.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing, is that the animation is stunning. With any Ghibli film, it's the animation you know is always going to be gorgeous.
Mm.
And we are here in that. There's water in this. There's steam in this. There's food in this. But you could feel
water.
It all. You know what I mean? When they're in the water, you can feel it. When there's the steam, it's hot.
Well, I think with like anime, right? It's like they're known for like their food.
Well, Ghibli food especially.
Right.
I mean, think of Howl's Moving Castle. You know what I mean? When they're frying the eggs and the bacon.
We need to wrap. I need to make.
Let's go. We're having breakfast for dinner, people.
Right.
And we're going to watch Howl's Moving Castle. But so Spirited Away, it follows the story of Chihiro and her parents. Chihiro is having a bit of a moment because she's transferring schools. She's moving and she's feeling lost from the world that she knew.
Right.
And then she is literally transported to a different world. Her parents are turned into pigs and it's up to her to work in the bathhouse and try to free them. Mm. Of course, she has signed a contract with Yubaba, the witch, who has stolen her name, who has some of the best jewelry on the face of the
earth.
And
is also terrifying.
She's terrifying.
Yeah.
But she does make some friends right off the bat. She meets Haku, who is taking care of her and showing her the ropes. And of course, you know, midway through the film, she meets No Face, who is such an incredible character because No Face is drawn to her because of her kindness.
Yeah.
Because she's the only person that looked to him and offered him an entrance in and welcomed him.
And he still gave him stuff, too.
And he doesn't know what to do with that. So what he does is that he thinks that he has to keep eating more and more and giving people gold and giving people gold. But it's just her kindness and innocence that gives him the freedom to be himself. And he ends up going to live with, you know, Yubaba's sister, Zaniba, and her scarecrow. And, you know, it's just so adorable.
I, I love No Face. I think he's one of my favorite Ghibli characters because it's so unique, but it, like, his arc alone is very interesting because he's terrifying, but then he's also like, oh
yeah. I mean, there's so much being said here, right? Of No Face, just what he's looking for is companionship.
Yeah.
What he's looking for is to be noticed. And so
just like her.
He acts out, but it's when she gives him just the simple thing of attention,
right,
that he can become himself again. And she has to come into her own. You know, she feels so lost at the beginning of the movie, but she grows up and she's able to take care of herself, you know, and it's that journey of going to a new school and going to a new place and finding out who you are.
I mean, she also takes care of a lot of characters.
She really does.
To be
and,
fair.
I mean, just the soot sprites are in this, and Kamaji, the man who runs the boilers with his arms that stretch. I mean, the imagination here is just stellar. And of course, it all wraps up at the end with us finding out that Chihiro and Haku are connected, and they didn't even realize it. It's just stunning.
Yeah. Great pick. I mean, I think that's a very solid number one pick. I don't think immediately I would have been like, that's a summer movie, but I mean, it is, and it can be.
Something
right?
about it just made me feel summer.
It's not winter. She's wearing shorts and t-shirts.
Very true. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Amazing movie. The Studio Ghibli, I can't wait for apparently his last one. I feel like he said that. I feel like he said that a few times, but we'll see if it actually is. I can't wait for it. There's nothing that's been released except for recently some stills, but very excited for
one movie poster and one still.
Yeah. Well, there's four stills now.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It looks amazing. It looks like the best drawn. It is what it is.
When you see a Ghibli film,
we're both doing this.
It's too much. You're just going to be transported into another world and just go with it. Okay?
All right.
Don't fight it.
Okay.
What's your number one?
I mean, I feel like, you know, the only reason why it's number one for me is because it really resonated with me, which I think is interesting. And I don't think anybody would have guessed it as my number one. So it's Greg Mottola's 2009. So it's more recent. Adventureland.
Interesting.
Yeah. There is just something about this movie. So I have a lot of like kids coming of age. I have some like kids and, you know, parents self-discovery. This one, I think, you know, as you get older, you kind of don't have those moments, right? And this movie kind of shows the last time that like you can have that like self-discovery, kind of where you can put life on pause a little bit. So this movie has Jesse Eisenberg, Kirsten Stewart, Martin Starr, Ryan Reynolds, Bill Hader, Kristen Wiig, who run the amusement park that they're at, and they are phenomenal. You could guess they're just the funniest part in this movie. But, you know, it's fun because you have Jesse Eisenberg and Kirsten Stewart right before the explosion, right before Social Network, and right before Twilight. So it's, you know, before they got really big. And this movie has kind of that indie feel to it, which I'm a big lover.
Yeah, you love an indie.
I love him. But so this dude is like a romance literature major. So he like doesn't really have any prospects as it is. He just wants to be a writer, and he's supposed to go to Europe, and his dad gets demoted. I believe he can't pay for it. Mm. And so he's like, oh, sorry, you can't go to Europe now. So he has to go back home and in the summer between like figuring out if he's going to go to New York to go to continue his education or whatever. He decides to get a job, but because he's a romance literature major, when is he going to get a job at? At the local adventure park, Adventureland.
With Kristen Stewart.
Which is in Pennsylvania, I believe, in the movie, but technically Adventureland is in Farmingdale, Long Island.
That is true.
So I think it's funny that they just changed the location.
They have Dutch Wonderland in Pennsylvania.
I remember like, because I've seen Adventureland because I've come to New York a lot prior to moving here. And then I remember when this movie came out, I was like, is that Adventureland? It's not. They also filmed this movie during the winter, and you can kind of tell
because they're shivering.
Well, no, kind of. There is a pool scene where it's like, you do look cold. But, you know, it's interesting because it's a summer movie, but a lot of times the clouds are gray. Mm. So it's an interesting juxtaposition between like what you normally associate summer movies and what you actually see. But yeah, it's just a self-discovery. You put your life on pause. You're going to make some money to like decide what you're going to do. And then somebody comes into your life that kind of changed the trajectory. And you're like, what is important. Me being like Charles Dickinson and going to prisons to write travel guides, or that's literally what he did. Oh. Or, you know, developing this relationship with somebody.
Mm.
And I also like how Ryan Reynolds in this movie is like one of the last times he plays like a hot, just like kind of like dude that's like a romantic interest before he like does his Deadpool thing and everything. It's just good. It's just one of those movies where it's like this is like the adult equivalent of like a kid's summer where your like life changes in that one summer. Very well acted. Soundtrack is absolutely amazing because I believe it takes place in the 70s. So you have that type of music during it. It's just great. I mean, you can't go wrong with it. If you haven't watched it, it's like an hour and 40 or hour and maybe 50, almost 2 hours, but it goes by fast. So
what a surprising pick,
right? I you know, Do the Right Thing would have been number one, but like, I feel like my whole list is number one for me. I love every single one of these movies, and I think all of them give me that summer vibe. But yeah, also I worked at a BMX track for like a couple summers, so it kind of reminds me of an amusement park.
What did you do there?
I just did concessions and ran the gate. I used to do BMX, but then I saw somebody get really injured to where it was like horrifying. Yeah. And I was like, no.
Again, we had very different summers.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I was disgusting and always outside and just a boy.
It's just like, what is it? City mouse, country mouse. Yeah. It's just who we were.
Yeah.
Where we grew up.
So those are our picks. So I'm just going to go down the list. Let's do a little recap. My number 5, Stand By Me. 4, Moonrise Kingdom. 3, Little Miss Sunshine. 4, Do the Right Thing. And 5, Adventureland. 1, Adventureland.
You went
I am
5, 4, 3, 4, 5.
I am hot. I'm hot.
Okay, I'll just recap.
We can't. You guys know. We can't have the fan on in here. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
I'm just like,
Topo Chico. All right. My top 5.
Don't mind me. I'm just going to stop talking.
He's melting. Oh my God. 5, The Parent Trap. 4, Luca.
7.
3, A Goofy Movie. 2, Adam's Family Values. And 1, Spirited Away.
Wow. Yeah. Our lists are very much us, which I kind of like.
I 100% agree.
This is fun.
I mean, like, mine have depth, but they're also just like, you know, like, wee. Yeah.
Mine are kind of like that, just a little bit. Or it's more like, ooh, but then like, wee.
Exactly. Inverted. We are yin and yang.
Yeah.
We have that we know about each other.
Yeah. But let us know.
I want to know your top fives.
Top fives or favorite summer movie or like what summer is to you. Just let us know. Go on our Discord. Go to Spotify. If you scroll down, you can like type and send it. Yeah, all that stuff.
Typing at ASMR?
No. No, don't do that.
Them typing.
No, I don't want to hear it, though.
They're thinking, though. About
yeah.
It. They're thinking. Maybe they have nails and they're chewing gum.
All right. So that's
summer,
it.
Summertime. Yeah. I got one in, baby.
So catch those cool waves. Stay cool.
Bruh.
And have a cool day. You know, get real nostalgic with it.
Yeah.
What was your summer drink?
Dr. Pepper.
Oh, you were serious.
Mama.
That's Dr. not Pepper. That's not refreshing.
No. Me. Yeah, as a kid, Dr. Pepper. Now as an adult, I drink water and seltzer.
Okay, this got less fun.
Well, welcome to adulthood. Great, I get to go to work still, but it's hot.
And it's summer.
Yeah. Cool, I'm sweaty. Hey, everyone. What about you? What was your summer drink?
Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid. Well, we always had Kool-Aid in my house.
Oh, sorry.
It was a go-to. We always had Kool-Aid.
We were a military family with lots of kids, so we only got it during the summer.
So they used to make really big Gatorade bottles, and then my mom saved them, and that's what we would make our iced tea and our Kool-Aid in.
That's too much.
And we had an orange funnel, and that's what we would put the powder in.
That's too much.
Mama said, don't you get any of that powder on the counter, bitch. Yeah, don't dirty my house in the summer.
We weren't allowed to touch the powder, so...
She just didn't want to come home to an empty thing because then she would have to make it. So then we would make it.
Oh, no. My mom didn't want to mess.
2 scoops. Yeah. No more than 2 scoops. It's true.
Tang. I had Tang a lot, too.
We did Tang a bit. We had a Tang moment in my house.
Sunny D.
All right.
Yeah. Capri Sun.
Oh. Capri.
The things we put in our bodies.
Watch your mouth.
All right. Bye. Bye. That's it.
Thanks for listening to A Bite Of. Artwork and editing by our own Noah. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at A Bite Of Pod and on Facebook at A Bite Of. If you have any questions, recommendations, or just want to say hi, you can contact us on abiteofpod.com. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review to spread the word. See you next time on A Bite Of. Bye.